Please and turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 1 through 6 this morning. John 14, verses 1 through 6. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word as we read the word of God together. John chapter 14 this morning, verses 1 through 6, beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these words. But Father, more important, thank you for the reality of them. God, I pray that you'd do a work in our hearts and lives this morning. Help us do what needs to be done in our lives. Father, for this task to be accomplished, you're going to have to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Please do that this morning. Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, that today they would get that matter settled so that they know that they have a mansion in heaven too. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're seated this morning, once again, we'll ask that you check your electronic devices and make sure that they're off or they vibrate. By the way, every now and then you hear a little bit to the PA system. That's somebody's cell phone going through our system here. And so unless you want your conversation broadcast in front of God and everybody, I recommend you turn them off. Or if you have to have it on because of business or whatever the case may be, not because you're checking the Olympic results and not because you want to know what the score is, then turn it to vibrate so it won't go off this morning. Now I'm going to ask you to sit still and listen for a few moments. Please listen to me. I want to talk to you about heaven today. Friday morning, somewhere between 2:30 and 7:30 in the morning, our head usher and good friend, Brother Pete Navarro, drew his last breath on this planet and drew his next breath in heaven. One of the great consolations and comfort for the child of God, and when we have a loved one who departs this life. Now, lost is not the right expression. Well, they lost a loved one. Kathy lost her husband. These boys lost their father. Michelle lost her father-in-law. This family's lost a loved one. No, we only lose something when you don't know where it is. When someone goes to heaven, there's a great consolation in that. There's a comfort to it. Now, listen carefully. And a lot of people will use that. Well, you know, after all, they're in a better place today. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you really believe that there is a place called heaven? See, we want to. There's a part of us that cries out for that. I feel sorry for people who say, well, I believe heaven's right here on earth. Then I always tell them, you got a stinky heaven, pal. You got a lousy heaven with too many road repairs, and there's too many problems with your heaven. Don't tell me this is heaven now. This is not heaven. And I'm not saying life is bad and it's all awful and terrible and life is no good. But today I want to talk to you from what Jesus said about some things we need to know about heaven. Now, I don't think I'll break any new ground for many folks. You can't really do that, to be honest with you. But now look at me carefully. We don't have to try to use our imagination about heaven. Fellas, there's somebody out in the hallway who needs some help. Would you check that? We don't need to use our imagination about heaven. Well, what do you think heaven's like? Can you imagine what heaven is? We don't need to go to theologians and ask them what heaven's like. We don't need to ask the religions of this world what heaven is like. We don't need to take a poll. We don't need to ask science. Jesus told us in just a few verses right here. And by the way, there are a lot of good things about heaven in the Bible. God devoted two chapters, Revelation 21 and Revelation 22, to describe heaven as it will be. Now you understand in the Bible there are two heavens. There is the heaven that is now, and there is the heaven that will be. The heaven that is now, we don't really know a lot about where people go when they go to heaven now. In other words, what kind of a place it is. We know the Bible calls it the paradise of God. Now, I've seen things before that I thought looked like paradise. Hometown buffet, 30 feet of food. See, you were thinking of a place. A paradise of God. In the Bible, that word paradise means like a park, a beautiful place. But the Bible doesn't say a lot about it because the heaven that is now is not the heaven where people will spend forever. In Revelation 21 and Revelation 22, God describes a city, the new heaven. It is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, and 1,500 miles high, straight up. It has a wall that's 6,000 miles long that goes all the way around it. It's 216 feet thick and 216 feet high. There are gates in those walls, 12 of them, three in each of the four sides, in proportion to the gates 100 miles wide and each gate made of one individual pearl. The streets of the city are gold, so pure it's transparent. The wall is of jasper. And yet at the foundation are the precious stones that people consider so valuable that God uses for building material. And in that city there is a river. And in that city there are trees. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, buildings. Now I want you to listen very carefully this morning. That's the heaven that will be. No one is there right now except Jesus. For 2,000 years, he has been working on that city, constructing. Now look, he stepped out onto nothing and spoke the worlds into existence. By the power of his word, he spoke the worlds into existence, spun the stars into their courses. To the farthest imagination of mankind, the power of science has yet to reach to the expanse of the creation of God, and Jesus spoke that into existence. He fashioned the mountains with his fingers. He brought this world into existence with the power of his word and did it in six 24-hour periods. Not 6 million years, not 6 trillion years. Six 24-hour periods, Jesus said, and it was, and that's how it is. And for 2,000 years, he has been putting his best effort into a city where the people of God will spend forever. That's the heaven that will be. Brother Pete is in the heaven that is now. Mrs. Lee's mother passed away just recently. Her mother's in the heaven that is now. Many of you today, you've had loved ones that are passed over. That's where they are right now. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. There's no transition period. There is no purgatory. There is no grave that awaits them. On Friday, we'll go to the cemetery and we'll lay his body to rest. But he's not there. He's already in heaven with the Lord. We're going to plant the seed of his body in that place. But they're automatically with God, just like that, that quickly. He drew one breath here. He drew the next breath in heaven, just like that. Let me say this too to you, by the way. We are surprised and shocked that our brother Peter sat right back there just recently and now not with us anymore. It's appointed unto a man wants to die, and after this the judgment. All the stuff that happens in people's lives are not accidents. They're not. It's God's time for a person to depart this life. You have that time, by the way. And it is set by God. And there's nothing that the wonder of modern science or medicine can do that will prevent that. When your day comes, you're going to heaven. You're going to leave this life, period. Now, that's either fearful to some, or it is for what most people who know God and know Christ. For those of us, it's a sweet comfort. What do we know about heaven based on what Jesus said? Number one, there's the certainty of heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus spoke of the certainty of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, heaven is real. It's there. It's just the other side of the heartbeat. It's just the other side of a breath. It's a place. It's a real place. And it is certain that it's there. Jesus said so. Heaven is a real place. People live there. It's a prepared place, designed and built by the greatest architect builder of the history of mankind, Jesus Christ. The smoke is cleared and we can begin to see the beautiful mountains around us again. He fashioned those in a moment with the work of his fingers. Just a moment. That quick. You ever stood on the edge of the Grand Canyon and looked off in there and do what most people do, spit. Look off into the Grand Canyon and see that and think to yourself, he fashioned that with his fingers. He just ran his hand down to that little place and fashioned the Grand Canyon. Just like that. Just an instant. Just took him that long. And he said, but I want to tell you about a place. He said, when your heart is troubled, there's a certain place, and that place is called heaven. That is a certainty today. That's where people go that know Christ as their Savior. They leave this life. We have the sorrow on this side. They have the joy on that one. There's the certainty of heaven. Jesus has prepared this certain place. It is as real as the streets you will walk today. It is as real as the house to which you will go today. It is as real a place as this building where we sit, that chair you're sitting on this morning. It's a real place. It's the certainty of heaven. Number two is there's the guarantee of heaven. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. That's a guarantee. Now, let me explain to you what a guarantee means. That means Jesus said it is so. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, see, has anyone ever really seen heaven? We got people running around nowadays who say they died and they went to heaven. And then they were told they had to come back to tell us what it was all about. Now, listen, I don't believe that for 5 seconds. Because number one, anybody with any sense is not going over there and coming back. I don't care what they do, and I'm going to tell you this one more time. That tunnel, you know, with the light at the end of it, and you go down there, and then there's Aunt Mary and Uncle Joe and all them people. And then you tell you have to go back. They're going to take everybody in heaven to shove me back down that tube to get me down here. Once I'm over there, I'm not coming back here again. No! The Bible says absent from the body, present with the Lord. There was someone who died and went to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12 tells us, and it was the Apostle Paul. He wasn't allowed to talk about it, sell tickets or books. But look at me. You don't have to see it to believe it. Can I ask you a question this morning? How many of you believe in George Washington? There was a man named George Washington. How many believe there's a man named George Washington? Good. Now then, how many of you have seen the man, George Washington? Oh, wait a minute. Look at me. So we'll accept the record of history. We'll accept the record of history. Man's record of history that they rewrite every day to exclude things God said were true or not. So we'll accept the record of history. All that stuff that's going on over there in China now at the Olympics and things like that. We'll accept what the newspaper says took place at an event we did not see. Not even think about it. Not even bat an eye. Oh, yeah, the guy won the badminton thing. And I always think, you know, that's really not a sport. But I'll be honest with you, I've played badminton competitively speaking, and if you play it right, it's still not a sport. But anyway, the truth is, you know, something that happened over there that we didn't see, but it's in the newspaper, and we go, yep, that happened. That guy got a goal. You didn't see it happen. Why do you accept what the newspaper says? You picked up the newspaper this morning, opened the front. I don't look at the newspaper on Sunday. I got good news. I don't read the Bible. I don't read the newspaper on Sunday, but I don't even read the newspapers on Sunday ever. I mean, tomorrow I don't read the newspaper. I'm sorry. But we'll open the newspaper, unfold it, and it says, headlines! Trader Joe's not coming this year. And we weep. Oh, no. No, I didn't even know what that is. But it's on the front page of the local newspaper. Who's Trader Joe and who's he trading? But we'll read that and we'll go, oh no. Boy, economic things are bad in Reading. There goes Trader Joe's. We won't even bat an eye. Look at me. And then Jesus said, In my Father's house are many mansions. And we go, you know, I wonder if that's what he really meant. Why do we have a problem with the authority of God's word and the Son of God himself who said it? And we will not, we have a question in our mind. Well, is it really? It's what he said it was. And the guarantee is who said it's there? Jesus said it. So in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it's different than that, I'll let you know. But here's how it is. There are mansions. There are places there. It's my Father's house. I'm coming to get you and take you there. That's the guarantee. So we don't have to use this as some kind of, well, people, you know, when someone dies, everybody says something nice like, boy, they went to heaven. Hey, you know what? If they're saved, they went to heaven. Guaranteed, because the Bible said so. There's the guarantee of heaven. There's the resolutions of heaven. See those verses there, those six verses in John 14? It's a pretty neat little package when you think about it. Jesus prepares a place. He comes to take us to that place, and that's how it is. Well, what else happens up there? Well, Revelation 22 tells us that there are some things that we do in heaven. His servants shall serve him. Tells us there are some things that take place in heaven. Tells us there are some things that are not in heaven. And that's pretty much it. Forever. Because you got forever to figure it out, okay? But look at me. But the thing about heaven, one thing that's so wonderful about heaven is it's a place where all things are resolved now. You saw Brother Pete walking around out here just barely able to stand up sometimes. Tremendous amount of pain. Came and served, by the way. I had another message in mind this morning. God made me change it. Came and served anyway. We didn't feel like it. Met you at the door, greeted you, and made you feel welcome. For the last couple of days, he's had the best health and strength he's had in years. Well, that's a nice thought, Pastor Johnson. No, it's not a good thought. It's a resolution of things. Do you understand, people? Look at me. Heaven is forever. This life is for as long as you live. That's all there is here. As difficult as this life can get sometimes, and as hard as it can be for us at times, it's only going to last as long as we're alive. That's all it's going to last. If you're saved and you die, you go to heaven, and everything is okay. Resolution. There's no passage in the Bible says we go around heaven all day long saying, well, how come this happened to me? And why did that happen to me? And what is this all about anyway? And how come I lost my job? And how did this happen to me? And how come this happened? And what is this all about? Can you imagine forever with a bunch of whiners in heaven? Griping, moaning, groaning, complaining. And let me just say it to you, friend. Once we leave this life, forget about it. You think heaven's some big stinking Oprah show where we just sit around and talk about all the junk? No, once we get over there, it's resolved. This life is there. That life is forever. It's settled. The resolution of heaven, friend, it's done. Nobody suffers anymore. Nobody cries anymore. No one's heart's broken anymore. No more troubles any longer. No cemeteries, no jails, no hospitals, no rescue missions, no difficulties, no heartbreaks, no aches, no stoop bones, no more difficulties. It's done. God settles it all in a place called heaven. And he wraps it up in a nice, neat little package. We go to the Father's house. God resolves everything. You've been away from your family for very long. Away in the military or away at school. Remember what it was like to think, man, it'll be so good to get home. When I was in the service, we used to have a calendar up in our rooms, and we got close to leave time, or we got close to getting out of the service time, we started marking days off in the calendar. And you got closer to those days to go home, we call it being short. I'm short, man. I'm so short, I could chin up on a dime. I'm short. Now, for Brother Moravia, that's a lifestyle, but for the rest of us, all it meant was, I'm getting close to going home. And then it was my last year in the service, I was up in the Arctic. And it's cold, and it was common for guys to slip on the ice and break a leg or fall down or something like that. You could tell the guys who were really close to getting home. They're walking around like this. Don't rush me, man. Don't rush me. I'm not breaking anything. I'm going home in a couple of days. And they just kind of move real easy like that. We get home to heaven. It's all resolved. Do you really want to remember anything about this life anyway? Do you? Again, I'm not saying it was all bad and let's forget about it. It was a horrible life to leave it behind. No, I want to go to heaven and ask God, well, how come when I was four, they took my bike away from me? I really? We get to heaven, we want to talk about all this stuff, right? We want to go up to God with a whole laundry list of stuff and say, okay, God, here it is. August the 14th, 1962. I got a B in science. You really want to talk about that, right? We just want to sit around and think about this life in that one. No, it's a resolution of things. We're going to see loved ones that left us in pretty bad shape. We stood beside their bed and we watched them wither with diseases and battles. And when we see them in heaven, it'll be like, my soul. Straight, strong, healthy, no more troubles. Everything's resolved in heaven. There's the resolution of heaven. And then there's the reunion of heaven. He said in verse number 3, there ye, that's a whole bunch of people, maybe also, all of the saved who died and gone before us are in heaven. And one day, all of the saved will be in heaven, and it'll just be one massive reunion. You think about the people that our loved ones who've gone before us. You think about the people they've seen when they got to heaven. I don't know how the order of things work. I don't know if the first person you see is Jesus. I don't know. I'm not sure. I know this. You got forever to see them all. And we say no more goodbyes in heaven. And we're in a place where finally we get to meet folks and we won't discuss politics and we won't discuss religion. And it won't be an argument or a fight. God's made us brand new and them too. And all matters are resolved, and heaven is a place where it's one great big family reunion. And not only do we see loved ones that we know and have gone on before us that we've been waiting to see, we get to see people we've always wanted to talk to. People we met from the Word of God. I don't know, but that if God allows us to be able to relive events of things that took place that happened here on earth. Great events like David and Goliath and Noah and the ark and the first person who started making fried chicken and things like that. I don't know sure how that works. But in heaven there is this great reunion. We have, and just our daughter, our oldest daughter Jenny right now is on again, off again on her labor. She's still a little early and we appreciate you praying for her. But here in the next 2 days or week or two, we're going to have another grandchild, Lord willing. That's great. There'll be three grandchildren. Then December, our daughter Beth is here. She'll be giving us a fourth grandchild. But we have three we've never seen there in heaven. We'll get to meet people we have never seen before, never got to meet. He said, we'll be there. It's just amazing when you stop to think about what heaven does for us, ladies and gentlemen, is it gives us not only hope and strength, but it gives clarity to things in this life. I'm afraid we get so earthbound that we think, our roots get a little too deep here. And when we start to think about heaven, then we start to realize there is this place. And Jesus has prepared it for us. And we will go there. And everything will be okay. By the way, one last thing about heaven is access to heaven. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hear me carefully this morning. You don't go to heaven because you want to. You don't go to heaven because you deserve it. You can't deserve a place like heaven. Nobody deserves heaven. You go to heaven because Jesus is, listen now, Jesus is the way to heaven. Not one of the ways, He is the way. You get to heaven through Jesus Christ and trusting Him as your personal Savior or you don't go, period. But Pastor Johnson, what about all the religions in the world? Are you a member of all those religions? Then that's a moot point. Because all that matters right now is what about you? God made one way to heaven to make it simple so people wouldn't mess it up and look at what a mess we made out of things. But God's way has not changed. His way has always been the same. That way is through Jesus Christ. Now you're only going to heaven if Christ is the way for you to get there. You are trusting Christ's payment on the cross for your way to heaven, the way. It's the only way. That's access to heaven. But Thomas said, Lord, we know the way, but we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. That's your access to heaven today. If you have settled that matter of salvation in your life by trusting Jesus Christ alone as your personal Savior, you have the way to heaven taken care of because Christ has paid the way. So that's yours now. Brother Pete's been wanting to go to heaven for some time now. Quite some time. Might make you think about how bad you want to get to heaven. You may get there a little sooner than you thought. But that's not a bad prospect. So for the family we grieve, and for these families today who have had loved ones pass away recently, or in the last few weeks, or in the last several months, or within the last years, we experience the loss here. They experienced the gain there. The question now would be this. Are you certain of heaven yourself? It is a certainty, but are you certain heaven is sure for you? Do you have the hope that comes from knowing there is heaven on the other side of this life? You know, when it gets really dark sometimes and difficult and the valleys get really deep, is there any comfort for you in knowing, but this is not all there is and this is not all there is to life? On an atheist tombstone in Massachusetts, it says, here lies, and whatever the guy's name was, an atheist, all dressed up and nowhere to go. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed. Well, those are nice comforting words for people who've lost a loved one, Pastor Johnson. Oh, really? Is that all we're looking for, are nice words? How about a guarantee? Jesus' guarantee.